So did you pick up on how nervous I was before I released the first episode?
Yes, of course.
When I called you, my stomach was literally like in my throat. Did you feel any nerves before we released the first episode?
I don't think so. I think more just anticipation of the reception of it than actual like nervousness.
I felt like I was releasing it out to like millions upon millions of listeners. I was so nervous. No, you didn't get that at all. No. Come on. A little nerve.
No.
Okay. All right.
But I think it's your baby.
All right. You ready for episode 2? All right. 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome back to episode 2 of Beyond the Bell. My name is Ryan Pina.
And I'm Stacey Arts.
I'm the principal over at OMS.
And I'm the principal at TES and supervisor of special services.
All right. So welcome back to those who listened last week, I guess. If you don't know the format of the podcast, basically there's a small little introduction. We go over some upcoming events, and then we quickly interview a teacher about or staff member about what they kind of contribute to the building and the district. And then we kind of have a little fun with them and ask them some kind of questions about themselves and an open door question. That being said, we wanted to quickly kind of go over last week's episode or episode 1's podcast. Any thoughts on the podcast?
I think that it went way better than I could have imagined. I think that we were kind of unsure of the flow, how it was going to go. But I think that everybody did a really great job between the stuff that we did. And then also with Ms. Colella and Ms. Miller, I think they were, you know, great guests to have on. And I think we had a really good conversation.
Yeah, their energy, I thought, was like top notch. Like when they started talking and they kind of got into it, like it made me feel a little bit more comfortable, especially with the first episode. I got some feedback from the first episode. I thought it was a lot of positive feedback that we had. I got feedback from my brother, who gave me a couple pointers. And it was good to kind of put something out there that was new.
Absolutely. And I think we're really appreciative. And I think I can speak for both of us in, I think, the positive feedback we got from staff. We know people out in the community were listening to it. And I think, you know, our goal is really to get out into the world what's happening here, kind of bring in the community into our schools as well. So I think it was really great to hear from, you know, different people that they were listening and they felt that it was valuable, because that's our goal.
Yeah. All right. So I'm looking forward to this episode, and here we go. This portion of the podcast, we're going to do some quick updates for both buildings, OMS and TES.
And December is a really busy month. And I think, you know, this time of year in general. And as we're trying to figure out the flow of the podcast, we're going to kind of play around with what makes the most sense in terms of events. It's going to require us, you know, taping this over a couple of days. But today is Monday. So we're going to talk a little bit about what has happened already and then what we have moving forward for the rest of the month. So at TES, we had our winter concert last week, and Ms. Chekai, Mr. Lutz, and our fourth grade students in both chorus and hand chimes did a phenomenal job. It is one of my favorite events of the year. I just think that Ms. Chekai and Mr. Lutz put on a great show. Students love it. Families love it. And it's a great time.
How are the hand chimes?
Hand chimes were great. Okay. They are definitely get better every year. They were a big group. I know Mr. Lutz shared that they started off like small, maybe like 2 kids, 3 kids initially, and then they grew. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great just seeing everybody up there, you know, having a good time. Everybody's dressed up. They're dancing. Lots of smiling faces. And I think a ton of appreciation from all of their families that come to support them.
It's awesome.
It is. Definitely. And then coming up, you know, at the end of this week, we have our we're bringing back a holiday sing-along at TES, which we haven't done in a handful of years. So we're kind of excited to see what that looks like. We have a number of students who have never experienced that. So that'll be Friday before our holiday parties. So preschool to fifth grade all have the opportunity to have a holiday party on Friday before they go home. So I know everybody's looking forward to that too.
To go the going home part or the
no, I think the parties.
The parties.
And then everything that comes after.
Okay.
They go home too.
Fair enough. So OMS, as you just said, we do have the holiday parties in fifth grade as well. We have on Friday, we have our sports awards. And then on Thursday night, we have our holiday concert over here. So I know that I'm looking forward to seeing that on Thursday night. I'm sure that Mr. Lutz has some great things planned for us. So I'm really looking forward to seeing those things. Anything else going on? I know we had a lot of like student events. What happened last couple weeks?
Yep. So we had holiday shops in both schools. Really appreciative of the HSA for making that happen every year. I had the opportunity to go into our holiday shop quite a bit. And every time I went in, no matter what the grade was, everybody was having a great time, you know, looking at all of the items they could buy, lots of lists. And I think that it is such a great chance for our students to, you know, kind of do their own shopping. And I think without their families there, which is a little bit different because I think at home, like even with my own kids, when I take them shopping, I obviously influence a little bit into what they're buying when we're talking about buying for, you know, their siblings or their aunts and uncles or parents. So I think it's such, you know, a great time for them. I think the middle school is probably the same.
Yeah, I was in there a few times and it was good to see the kids kind of. It was interesting because they were like, as they were walking through, they were, you can see what they were liking or liking because they were like touching a bunch of stuff. And whether they put that back down or bought it, it was good to see them kind of just, like you said, have their own moment. I think it's a big shout out to HSA members for being a part of that. I know there was a lot of parent volunteers the whole week. So thank you for that. Obviously, those kids wouldn't have those experiences without you. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely. We also had our CHOP Pajama Day, which is a huge fundraiser. I think we have a ton of participation, both in wearing pajamas and in donating. Our total donation for CHOP Pajama Day was $1,567.50,
yeah.
Which well surpassed.
Yeah, that was a big jump. I was talking to Mr. Bannon. I think his first year that they ran it, it was something like 500. And then each consecutive year, it's been jumping up by 500. So that is a big, shout out to the community for being a part of that program and, you know, really stepping up to help some kids out that might need it.
Absolutely. I think it's great. We also have another big event. NJHS is doing a Toys for Tots collection. And I know they have a ton already collected. And then Wednesday, they will be delivered.
Yeah, so Wednesday, Ms. Wilkinson she had a hard time reaching out to a lot of different places to try to get some the students to actually go there and drop off the items. So we are doing that Wednesday with some of the NJHS members to drop off some of the things that we collected. So that was another big turnout for the district.
That's awesome. District-wide too, we have had a couple of dress up things happening. We have like whole district-wide dress up all of this week, stuff that should have gone home with different outfits or themed days for the entire week.
Yeah.
And then our staff also participated in an underground Spirit Week last week. So with that, the staff was made aware of a Spirit Week. from the perspective of staff wellness. And it was something that we're doing with like the wellness committee. And there were different themes each day, but students were not aware what they were doing it.
Yeah, we had a few students who were like coming up and trying to guess what the theme was. And it was great to kind of see them kind of be like in shock a little bit of like, what are the teachers doing? And it was great to see the staff participate as well. Did you have any front runners of like best dressed staff?
We have Mrs. Quelty on, I think, was it Thursday? I think we did soccer mom and barbecue dad. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Quelty's soccer mom was phenomenal, right down to a wagon with like a backpack with snacks and Gatorade.
Oh, okay.
And her chair and the whole getup. It was phenomenal. But we had a lot of really good participation, I think, throughout the week. But I'm trying to think if anything else sticks out. That one definitely for me was like.
Yeah, OMS had a lot of good staff. We probably had about over 95% of the staff every day. So it was really great to see. And I would say easily, hands down, Miss Bauer probably had some of the best outfits during the week. But I would do like a dark horse. If you didn't pick up on it, Mr. Shin and Mr. Dunley also went all out for the most part the whole week. So I would think if I were voting, so to speak, I would probably go Miss Bauer first, but then, you know, Mr. Shin and Mr. Dunley kind of a close second. There was a lot of good outfits, but I think those would be the ones that kind of stick out in my head.
Yeah, they're definitely they were good. Mrs. Bauer was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think the effort, like sometimes I think about it, you know, like we think about having to like dress up for like theme days, and that's work, right? Like that's extra effort that we have to put in. And I think it's awesome sometimes when we see that everybody gets really into it.
Yeah.
And it definitely, I think, creates a more positive atmosphere, right? Like that's what we're going for, is kind of like building.
Yeah. I hope they had some fun. And then, so we have winter break. And that is over on the 2nd. We come back that Thursday. And then we're trying to get you to about mid-January. So on January 9th is going to be another Parent Academy that we're putting on. Ms. Hartz, can you talk a little bit about that?
So the Parent Academy, this time will really focus on communication. So we're looking at district communication, you know, how we're sharing information that is happening within or ways that we're doing this podcast, for example, is a way that we communicate what's happening, and kind of talking about other resources or ways you might hear things, but also talking about the best way that parents can communicate with their own students and really learn from them how they're doing and way, you know, different ideas of how to talk with our kids on, you know, about school or about their lives. So communication in general, with those two pieces there.
Yeah. And I think that kind of branched off what Ms. Kalel was saying a little bit last week, right? About how to communicate with your kids. So, I think that's a great, lead into our Parent Academy coming up again. That is on January 9th. That's at 6:30.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Right before the HSA meeting.
There you go. So that Thursday, 6 o'clock, please join us at OMS in the Media Center for our Parent Academy. All right. Coming up next will be our teacher interview. Any thoughts going into this interview? Are you excited about the Fry discussion again? Because I know that you had an ally with Miss Miller.
Yeah. Speaking of fries, though, we went to Freddy's over the weekend.
Okay.
Which I don't know. I don't know if it's a new place. It's a new to us restaurant near where we were out shopping. And they had very interesting, like they were like shoestring fries, which is obviously McDonald's, like my preference. But they had like a fry sauce that was really good. And I was kind of impressed, and I was thinking of our fry discussion while I was eating the fries over the weekend.
All right. Well, I will be interested to see if that creeps into your top fry during our discussion with the staff member. All right. Here we go. welcome back. We are here for our staff member segment, and we are joined by our sixth grade math teacher, Miss Anna Carrico. Miss Anna Carrico, welcome to Beyond the Bell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Are you at all nervous or excited or don't know what to think yet?
Both. All three. Nervous and excited.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't know if what's going to come out of my mouth is going to get jumbled.
Right.
Mouthful of marbles, but we'll see how everything goes.
All right. Perfect. So we wanted to ask you a few questions, and then obviously at the very end, we'll ask you our standard open door questions. So we wanted to start off how you got to Tabernacle and then kind of your journey, because you are one of our veteran teachers around here, and you've been here for how many years?
I've been here 20 years, started my 21st this year.
Okay.
But this is the start of my 31st year teaching altogether.
So how did you get here then? Where did you come from?
I started teaching at Cherokee High School as a Title I teacher and did that for 2 years. And then I went to Lenape for a year and actually taught in the multiple disabled class and worked with two autistic twins, which is very interesting class. Then I went back to Cherokee where I worked as in-class support for language arts for 2 years.
Okay.
Yes. In the meantime, I went back to school to get my math certification because I was only certified K-8 and I wanted to be a high school math teacher.
Okay.
So when I went back, there was no math positions open. And so I started applying for other jobs and wound up getting a job at a middle school math.
Okay.
And so I started at Berlin Community School as an 8th grade math teacher, actually 6th, 7th, and 8th grade math. And so that's where I was for 5 years. And after that, I wanted just one grade level. 6th, 7th, and 8th was a lot to take on, a lot of preps. And so I got a job here, 8th grade, teaching 8th grade math and Algebra 1.
Okay.
And then here I am.
And then here you are.
And here I am.
And so how many years have you been doing? Because I know since I've been here, you've been doing just sixth grade.
Just sixth grade.
How many years have you been doing that total?
So I did eighth grade for 10 years. Okay. And then I moved to sixth grade. So I was a little upset at first, I'll be honest. I almost thought it was like a demotion because I loved algebra so much.
Yeah.
And I love the eighth grade. I thought my sense of humor kind of meshed with the eighth graders and whatnot. So I did cry for a little bit when I was moved.
Oh, man.
But the principal at the time explained to me it was not for any reason other than she wanted me to prepare the younger kids for what was expected in seventh and eighth grade. So she let me keep my room, which I no longer have now, but that's besides the point. And so I moved to sixth grade, and it was definitely some growing pains. I had to ease back a little bit on my humor because humor in sixth grade is not the same as humor in eighth grade. In fact, I think I made a sixth grader cry my first day or two. So then once we realized, you know, how sixth graders were, because it's a big gap between sixth grade and eighth grade, I started to really like it because once the sixth graders move on to seventh grade, they're still there. Eighth graders graduate and you don't see them after that.
Right.
But now I know all the kids.
Yeah.
So once they leave, they're still here for 2 more years.
Right.
And they come back and they visit. And so.
And you see them in the hallways.
I see them in the hall and they come back and they visit. So I, besides the fifth graders, I know almost all the students in the school. So I enjoy that.
Yeah. That's a great benefit.
I'm kind of like latching on to stuff you said a little bit ago, the special ed stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I guess, can you talk a little bit about like your interest? Was that, did you just kind of fall into the special ed or were you interested in that? And then also like what drew you to math? Was that always a passion or was that something that came after you had started teaching?
What would you like me to start with?
Special ed stuff, because that was
a loaded question.
I'm surprised. Well, they did away with Title I. Lenape District did not want to supplement the money that the state pulled. And because I wasn't certified to teach at the high school, the only job available to me was actually an assistant. So I was a special ed assistant. So that's what I moved over and took an assistant job. I wasn't a teacher, I was an assistant. And that's how I got into that position. And it was very interesting. So it was a multiple handicap position. There was autistic children, there was selective mute student there. There were several different disabilities in that classroom. And it was eye-opening. We did a lot of work study for those kids. And the two boys that I had actually were aging out. They were turning 21 that year. So it was great. In terms of what brought me to math, my mom was a high school math teacher. I swore I was never going down that path. It's not what I wanted to do. However, when I was in college, I originally wanted to be an accountant. I thought I liked numbers. They made a lot of money, but it's extremely boring in college. Mm-hmm. I walked around with the Wall Street Journal. Never read it. Just thought it was cool to walk around with it. But it was really
read it.
No, I didn't read it. It was boring. But economics was boring and accounting was boring. And I went to college when computers were just coming out. And I thought, why do I have to learn all this? There's going to be a computer program that is going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to people. So as a freshman in college, you start to take those courses for freshmen. What are you going to be good at? What's going to be a good career for you? So I took that little test that they give you, and my inventory came out with, you will be a good teacher or you will be a good funeral director.
That's kind of
and I thought
opposite ends there.
Well, I want to work with a living, so that's what I decided. I wanted to be a teacher, so. And then I started taking some side jobs, tutoring my friends in math who were going into the business end but couldn't pass their math courses, and took some side jobs at elementary or middle schools to tutor kids, and just figured, I guess this is the path I'm going to go down. Yeah. So I went into education.
That's awesome. So jumping back to your sixth grade experience, I know one of the things that I'd like consistently coming into your classroom is how you... I think going back to the previous principal, as you said, like you do prepare those sixth graders for that journey through seventh and eighth grade. Are there things that you are constantly thinking of in the back of your head that, hey, this is going to serve them well in seventh and eighth grade, besides the math, more about the person and how they're kind of going through middle school?
Actually, I have an arduous yet important job of making sure they're prepared by making sure they know how to follow directions. And that transition from fifth to sixth is so important because they're so used to being just with one teacher and in one place. And then they come into sixth grade and it's changing teachers and going to the lockers and getting to class on time. And if they can't follow directions, then they get stressed out and there's a lot to it. So the first almost 2 weeks, and it doesn't even end. I'm still making sure, read the board, follow these directions. Can you do this? And look at this in small, tiny little tasks to make sure that they're constantly following these directions. Because then it translates into following directions on a test or following directions in the mat. So that's just
huge. Or in the hallway or in the cafeteria or whatever.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And even going home and talking to my husband about his job and what he does and how people at his work, this happened to this person because they didn't follow directions. And it's a life skill. So,
I do think that's, you know, that's probably the biggest transition for those fifth graders to sixth grade is to kind of have that mentality of, you know, although they're in the middle school building and, you know, we try to do different things, but like that true middle school mentality comes in sixth grade and then hopefully travels with them through seventh and eighth. All right. So we have two more questions for you. We want to talk about your passion with esports first, how that came and what you try to do with the program, because from what I understand, it really wasn't anything that was on your radar. It wasn't something like that you were passionate about, but you kind of jumped in. And from what I have seen, especially this year, going to the fall sports for fall esports playoffs, mm-hmm. right? The program has, you know, grown so much. So can you talk to us a little bit about like what got you into it and how you're doing now with it?
It took me a while to think back to that and okay. how it's grown. And, you know, 4 years later, here we are. But it first started because TES's green team wrote a grant to Dell, and they were rewarded $50,000 to create that esports room.
Okay.
So if it wasn't for that green team writing that grant, that would have never even come to be. So, you know, that's first off where any of that came from. And so Dell awarded Mrs. Morrow and Mr. Calderwood that money, and that's where esports even started. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Kyle got us involved. Mr. Calderwood got us involved with Garden State Esports, which is just a program, which is more than just playing video games. It's competitive, but there is across, just not New Jersey, but across the United States and even internationally, playing games for kids who just aren't physical athletes, and they're getting college scholarships. And Stockton University has its own major where you can major mm-hmm. in esports, and it involves commentating, and it involves so many other avenues, and it has so many more facets than just sitting playing video games.
Right.
And I had to research a little bit about what is it before I really got involved. And because I had some background in coaching, I've coached several different sports, and that I could organize it. And I like to, you know, see what else I can get involved in. And, you know,
well, yeah. And I think that's probably the misconception that I think a lot of people have, is that it is a sport. Like, you coach, like, you talk about strategies, offensive, defensive strategies, and what they can do to kind of work together. It's not just sit in the room and play a video game. It's actually coaching.
Correct. And also there's physical therapy that if the kids are having trouble and they need to stretch, or they need to warm up their hands or their necks or their backs. And there's YouTube videos that you can find that physical therapists that only focus on how to warm up and stretch their hands and everything else in their wrists so that they are physically warmed up. So if you go out on the soccer field and the kids are doing stretches or their quads or their legs or whatever, they have to stretch and warm up their hands and their wrists and everything else. So, and at Seneca, because after we got our program started, Seneca got theirs. And at Seneca, they can earn a letter for
varsity
letter.
That's
so
cool.
And you can get college scholarships, like I said before, for it. And they're rewarding millions in dollars for this.
Awesome.
And all the military except for the Marines has their own esports program. So it's bigger than any of us realize. Yeah.
That's cool. And I think it provides such a great opportunity for students who may not otherwise be involved in things in school, which I think makes it really important, really inclusive.
Absolutely.
So our final question of the segment, our open door, where would you prefer to get your favorite fry from?
Does it have to be like fast food or any restaurant?
Anywhere you like.
I think, actually, I like Applebee's French fries.
Ah. Mm. Any particular reason why? Like, is there a...
I like the cut of them.
Okay.
I like they're thick enough. And they have the perfect, like, garlic salt.
I was going
to
say, their seasoning is very distinct.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yes. And they give you either the ketchup or the honey mustard to go with it. And it's just, it's perfect.
I would say
I'd say it's a good fry.
Applebee's.
I think
because I think when most people think of French fries, they go to more of like a fast food as opposed to like that style of Applebee's restaurant. But I would say that's a good fry.
So,
I have no complaints. Now, Miss Arts, I know, is...
And it's still at McDonald's 100%, but I do like, I mean, I can...
You can get down with the...
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I would not say the same for like Chick-fil-A or something like that, but definitely Applebee's.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much, Santa Carrico. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And it was great to kind of learn a little bit more about your background that I didn't even know. And it was great to kind of hear about esports as well.
Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Yeah.
All right. As we come to the conclusion of episode two, it was great to know to speak with Miss Anna Carrico. What did you think about that interview?
I thought it was really good. And I was kind of anticipating a similar interview to the one we did with Mrs. Colella and Miss Miller. And I felt like it was completely different. I think the questions we asked, the direction we went, and I think that was neat to experience, and it, you know, makes me excited to go forward and see that I think each one is going to just continue to be different. I think expectations kind of get thrown out the window.
Yeah, about like what you think the direction of the interview would go, because we do like plan a little bit for it, but I think based off what the person says is kind of where we go. I would agree with that. Were you were okay? You weren't just giving Miss Anna Carrico like nice job with the French fry pick, or were you honest with that?
I was. I do. I feel like Applebee's was good. I haven't been there in a long time, but now I feel like maybe
stop there again just to
visit, some fries. Check it out.
All right. All right. Well, thank you again for listening to episode two. Hopefully, we have a few more coming out in the near future, and hopefully, we have some new teachers that come on and give their story about who they are and how they contribute in a lot of great ways to Tabernacle. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.